Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Dogen says that many people think that if they give help to others, that they will lose something. But he says this is totally untrue, being a law of the universe. What many people don't realize is that to challenge one's own selfishness leads directly to liberation. This is a small example, or maybe it isn't so small. If one is working in an office, shall we say, and washing one's own coffee cup, and there are other people's coffee cups there, why not just wash a couple of them? The very act of going against the resistance that one feels under such circumstances liberates. I myself experienced this when I had the flu, and I'd had it for several days while staying at Chaste Abbey. And one of the monks came in the room and said, "Reverend Master is asking if you'd like to come over and help wrap Christmas presents." And I was flabbergasted. Because, you know, everybody knew that I was sick with the flu in bed, what have you. Probably past the contaminating stage. But I thought about it numerous times over the years. And I wish I had at least made the effort. It is an interesting thing that it doesn't matter on one level what one makes the effort in. It is the doing of it. Throughout the day, there are innumerable opportunities to let go of our own selfishness, our own self-absorption. It doesn't matter what the opportunity is, just go for it. One of the most difficult attitudes of mind to train, either in the monastery or outside, is willful stubbornness, clinging to oneself. In a monastery, people who do that are sometimes simply left on their own because there's nothing that can be done. Sometimes years later, such people wonder why they haven't learned particular things that other people have learned. And it wasn't that there was some sort of secret teaching being given. It's that at the time that the teaching was given, the person was so self-absorbed that they couldn't hear it. Dogen says that at such a time, outside this doubting self, no world exists for the person in that state. They're stubborn, sticking to the self. Colors, everything. Creates a world of self-justification and of continually offering of excuses to oneself and to others as to why one does not do something differently. In a monastery, this sometimes manifests as a stubborn insistence on having one's own way. In monasteries, the evaluation of training is often on the basis of very small things. Because if the person cannot let go of a small thing, at the time of death, they will not be able to let go, because they will cling to the arrangement of the room or the bed or whether they have what they want, etc. And they will have a hard time dying. We learn to let go of small things in order to be able to learn to let go of major things like life and death. Dogen's instructions regarding monastic life, regarding the chief cook, etc., are all about this. He continually emphasizes the letting go of selfishness. Sometimes through having awareness for other people in terms of noise, in terms of excessive moving about. And sometimes he focuses on training the self by means of the training of the mind. For example, in the instructions of the chief cook, Dogen emphasizes the mind of generosity, the mind of non-discrimination, the mind of accepting what comes. Monastic life is meant to be the practice of reality, not another form of insulating the self against the knocks and difficulties of daily life. In the Christian Bible, there are the instructions of overcoming selfishness by, it says, if someone asks you to go a mile with them, go 2 miles. If someone asks you for one thing, give them 2. This, of course, does not mean to dwell on formalities. It refers to the attitude of mind of letting go. There is no progress in Buddhist training without doing this, without letting go. Otherwise, if we do not learn to let go, we just convolute the self in new ways. Living as a monk means not being one particular thing, which means not to put one's identity on one particular thing. There's a koan story of the abbot who asked for the chief cook And when the monk who fulfilled that role turned up, the person said, I wasn't asking for you, I was asking for the chief cook. What does this mean? This means that the person brought their selfishness through the door as they came in. And therefore it was obligatory upon the teacher to challenge it. Once you grasp that that is what all the koan stories are about, the challenging of selfishness. When the lay disciple in the story said, can I train myself? He said, in my garden there is a stone that sits up and lies down. Can I carve it into a Buddha, which is a sort of fancy way of saying the same thing? And the teacher said, yes, you most certainly can. And then when the disciples said, well, maybe I can't. And the master said, it is very certain that you can't. Too many people think that if they let go of selfishness, they will encounter aridity and meaninglessness. That is because they do not realize that in selfishness there is no meaning. Selfishness gives no meaning to our lives. Meaning in our lives comes from letting go of selfishness. It is a very common question that one encounters as a Buddhist teacher in the West. I honestly don't know whether other Buddhist teachers encounter the same thing, but I think so. And that is the question about how do I avoid becoming a doormat? To other people. Which sometimes is a rather curious something for somebody to ask before they ask, how do I deal with my own selfishness? Selfishness, self-obsession, can take many different forms. Sometimes what people think is self-sacrifice is actually selfishness in another form. It is sometimes satirized in the mother or whatever relative making the children feel guilty. You know, the Jewish mother grand light bulb joke. You know, how many Jewish grandmothers does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. Because it's okay if she sits all alone in the dark. Now that is self-sacrifice. That is rather selfishness manifesting as self-sacrifice. To practice letting go of selfishness, this is done in the small things, in the little things, like the cups I mentioned. Monks are taught it through doing something that needs to be done, that nobody is going to know that you did it. The Japanese call it deeds of secret kindness. from being a chaplain to an abbot, that is one's life. One is constantly looking after things that nobody is going to notice that you've done it, but people would notice if you didn't. Sometimes it's simply putting something away. When the mind gets into, I can't put that away because I wasn't responsible for putting it out, what's that but expanding the self into all sorts of unnecessary areas? People might say that in training they don't want to risk this or that or another difficulty, but training in it is in and of itself a risk. One has to enter areas that one has not entered before. Try things that one has not tried before. Look at things that one has not looked at before. To do something by ourselves without copying others, says, becomes the source of all wisdom. To do something by ourselves without copying others is to let go of selfishness, to do that which needs to be done. And this becomes the source of true wisdom. Because when we let go of selfishness, even for a moment, wisdom is obtained. The entire life of Shakyamuni leaving his palace at midnight in order to find the solution to the suffering of his family and relatives. The Buddha sought the cause of suffering. He did not seek an intellectual state called enlightenment. The enlightenment was, in a sense, a byproduct of the search for the solution to suffering. Too many people have the idea of enlightenment as some form of exotic solidification of the self. And therefore they think it as a supremely nice state. When, of course, it is obtained through continually letting go of selfishness. The story that I've told many times of the monk being asked to put some more charcoal on the altar, on the charcoal box, instead of indulging in vain speculations about Bodhidharma, and the monk desultorily poking around in the ash and unable to find a coal, and then the master getting down and poking all the way to the center and producing the coal. The enlightenment, as a result of that, was due to the disciple seeing how selfish they were being. And what they needed to do to get beyond it. This is also the meaning of going on beyond. Always dropping selfishness. Always dropping the next selfishness that arises. You can only determine what is and is not selfishness by plunging into this, by training with this. You may make mistakes, but nothing is gained from not proceeding down the path. So think about cups. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.